official count, but it looks like we have lots of folks in the room. So, in the interest of time, I think, is Allison our first person up? Yes, I don't know if she's here yet. So we can, I'll just kind of get started and then we'll go from there. All right, folks, good afternoon. Welcome to another exciting installment of our division meeting. I hope everyone's doing well. We're a few weeks into our semester as of now. And things are happening. We've got students back. Things are going well, which is great. And I'm excited that we're moving forward. We have a pretty not too packed agenda, but I do want to get to our breakout room so we have a chance to chat about a few things. For our full-time faculty, you'll have seen the emails about evaluations, so I'll check in with each breakout room about those as we go through. But I won't spend too much time on that right now. Crystal, can you please bring up the agenda?
Yes, give me 1 second.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'll have the agenda up in a second. Okay, so like I said, we have a few things. Starting off with our welcome, Allison Hughes will come in and talk to us a bit about instructional design support. And then our very own Nathan Staples will be walking us through some of the ins and outs of the professional development website. We'll go over some department or division business, and I'll kind of circle around to the circulate through the breakout rooms to talk about evaluation stuff. And then at 2:30, Karen Engel will be closing out our meeting with a data presentation on enrollment modality and trends. So the cool thing about being part of the science and technology division is that it's a bunch of cool nerds and we love data, and I'm looking forward to looking at data with all you folks. Perfect way to close out a Friday. And you can pull down the agenda now, please. Thank you. Let's see, is Allison here? In the absence of Allison, I think we'll skip right over to you, Nathan, if that's okay.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah, no pressure. We're just motoring through.
I just got back from the dentist.
No, yeah, take your time. If you're
Yeah,
waiting for the Novocaine to wear off, that's okay as well.
my teeth are all shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also want to say, folks, thanks for I moved the meeting to online. I thought there might be rain. I thought there might be fallout from the storms and whatnot. I know in the past we've had storms and folks' homes have been impacted, folks, the roads have been impacted. So just wanted to make sure folks didn't have to go out and drive through that. Opted to move online. Obviously, it looks like things are not nearly as treacherous as I anticipated, but I will always err on the side of caution when it comes to the folks in our division and keeping you folks safe the best I can. So that was my decision. So pardon me if there's any confusion around that, or if you don't get to have as much in-person FaceTime today, but I did. That was my thought process on that. Yeah, Nathan, let me know when you're ready.
Kind of. Let's
Yeah, again, but I can.
see. Share screen. Okay. All
And yes, you should be able to share screen.
right.
Yes, I enabled it.
Great, thank you.
That showing up?
Yes, the floor is
All right.
yours.
Okay. So we just wanted to remind everybody that professional development isn't available as part of our contract. I think it's, what's it called? Item 13 or something like that. I don't remember what to call it, but yeah, actually part of our contract that that the professional development funds are available for us to improve our expertise and training. And just wanted to show you the website has recently been updated. It doesn't look that different from what I can tell, but it's been updated a little bit. It's a little bit cleaner looking, and I have some images of what it looks like if I can make it move. There it goes. All right. So this is like a screenshot. So yeah. So just here's sort of the overview page. And I actually hi I highlighted, just not highlighted naturally on the page, but basically, it's a professional development is to provide a foundation for our comprehensive learning program for ourselves. And let's see. You can see over here on the left. Can I see my pointer? Is that showing up? Okay,
Yes, it
cool.
is.
Yeah, so the actual professional development plan is there if you want to look at that stuff, committee and groups. We are I am one of the members of the professional development the faculty group. Let's see what else. Yeah, this is all kinds of stuff about professional development on this page. So just that's your one-stop shop kind of to find all your link outs for all professional development. I'm the committee that I'm on, the PD committee. We are mostly in charge in sort of evaluating and awarding professional development funds for you. So let's see. So faculty professional development. The main things to know about if you want to apply to go to a conference or do a trip or do some sort of workshop type thing, whatever it is that you're thinking you might want to do to enhance your professional development, participate in some research study, something like that. There's all kinds of things that you can do. Is that if you want to apply short term, it's basically a three small project that's like 3 weeks or less, okay? And long term is longer than 3 weeks, often like a month or two or maybe a whole semester or something like that. And so the most important thing is that for short term applications, you have to submit it 30 days, all right, to your dean. Submit it to your dean in 30 days before the event is going to happen. Okay. Sometimes we give a little wiggle room. I shouldn't tell you that, but we try to be kind of strict about it. Let's see what else is on here. For semester long term projects, the one for spring has already passed, as you can see. They usually do like mid-semester, the semester before you want to do a long-term project. So the deadline for a fall semester or any kind of sabbatical or extended leave is upcoming for application this March 1st. Okay, so make sure you get any documents you need to get to your dean by that point. Let's see. Expenses that are covered down here at the bottom, registration fees, replacement if you need like a substitute while you're gone, travel expenses for short term. Actually, does this apply short term or just long term too? Do you remember, Amir? Does that mean short term and long term or?
For the 2500? Yeah, I think it's for all of it.
Yeah, all of it.
That's my
All of it.
recollection.
Yeah, for years. So if you do one big trip and it's 2500, then you're kind of done for the year. It's 2500 per fiscal year, but that does not include, the fees, the registration, things like that. And then I'll let you guys just kind of read the rest of it. But yeah, lodging, meals. They actually just upped the meal coverage. I think it used to be, I think it was like 15 for breakfast, 20 for lunch, 30 for dinner, and then it went up a few dollars for each one. So it's a little bit higher now. Any questions so far? My instructor instincts are kicking in. Checking for questions.
I will just make one comment that so when it says all faculty for the short-term applications, adjunct faculty are eligible to apply for the professional development funds. And I know that's been a
Yes,
question
absolutely.
in the
All
past, yeah.
faculty. Yeah. It's part of the all faculty contract. Let's see.
All right.
All right. Yeah, I got a little hyper with my highlighter here, but it helps me focus myself. So, things that you'll need for your application process. There's a form there and it kind of lists the things that you'll need. One of the most important things, besides your travel expenses, your registration expenses, and usually people like download like a PDF of the web page or something like that to turn in that shows the travel expenses and the schedule, and that kind of shows what meals you'll actually need and things like that too. But the personal statement's very, very important. That's probably the main thing we look at. So put some effort into it. Please, and Amir knows how annoyed I get about this, but please proofread them. So, I'm a scientist, but I used to be a writing tutor, so I still get a little bit annoyed about that kind of stuff. So statement of purpose, description of the activities, what is the benefit to the college, what is the enhancement of any courses that they might affect in your program. And also any kind of personal enrichment, you want to describe those fairly well. Those of us who apply for scientific research grants know about the importance of these establishing the significance, right? And we do kind of expect you to bring something back to the college, right? Or at least to your program. Maybe a presentation, maybe a change in your curriculum, you know, something like that. But just personal enrichment is good too. So, you know, emphasize that if that's what you're going for. And then after your conference, you have to turn in all your receipts and things like that. There's a statement of conference expenses, as you see down here towards the bottom, all right? Again, and this is within 30 days of the end of your professional development.
We're sitting at your desk.
Say again?
We're looking at your desktop right now.
You're seeing my desktop?
Which
That's
is
not my
beautiful,
desktop.
by the way. Nice roses.
Oh, that's not my desktop. Somebody else start sharing?
Well, maybe it's me. I'm not too good at this. Let me stop sharing. Let's see here. Where the hell do I do this? Let's see. Oh boy. I need help.
Hey, Crystal, can you stop sharing for everybody? And then Nathan, you can.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. All right.
I just stole it back. Perfect. Sorry about
Perfect.
that. Yeah. So the professional development form, there's links here. The personal statement, the different parts of the personal statement I was just mentioning. Sorry. Conference expenses, copy of the approvals, itemized receipts, and, you know, all that stuff. So basically, just be thorough about what you're going to do, because we want to see that, you know, you have a legitimate thing you're doing and everything, for our money, and that it's, you know, actually bringing something back to the college, at least for your effectiveness as a faculty member. Any other questions so far? Hold
I
on.
have a question, Nathan. This is Susan. Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry, I didn't raise my hand.
That's okay.
Yeah, how many people apply for, I mean, how do you determine how the money gets used? I remember in the past, like longer term things weren't sometimes available because they prioritized, you know, sending more, giving more people the smaller amounts so that people could go to conferences and all that sort of thing. Are long term, you know, semester long ones likely to be approved, or how does
It
that
really
work?
just depends on funding. That's really kind of what it comes down to. Do we have the money, and will we still have enough left to fund some more, at least a few more short-term projects too for that semester or something like that? That's kind of what it comes down to mostly. And we do encourage, you know, if you want to do like a really big project, like several months or something like that, like you're gonna go on sabbatical, that you do look for some sort of extramural funding. We encourage that as well. I've never actually used it because the few big professional development things I did, I actually got a grant for them. And so I haven't used our college's professional
Right.
development funds before. And if it's sabbatical, often people will you know, bank hours or units or whatever they call it, and use that for at least part of their sabbatical. But yeah, we try to do the best we can to meet whatever requests we have.
Thank you.
And I asked the question earlier today, but I don't know if I ever got a response. Let's see how many. I was curious how much fun we had left. Anyway, oops, I bumped the wheel on my mouse. All right, so let's see, just real quick. So the forms are here. There's the application form, and if you need an advance, because like it's really expensive, you don't want it to come out of your own pocket, there's a form for that here. And then after the conference, right, so 30 days before, get that turned in, and 30 days after, get your expense report turned in and your project report turned in. Any questions about that? Let's see here. Oh, all right. Here's the application. Looks pretty straightforward. A little bit cleaner looking than it used to. I noticed that it has an itemization of your meals now, which is actually probably pretty useful when you're trying to calculate how much your meals are going to cost. Let's see. Oh, and I just threw this in. So here's Article 13, and I highlighted it for you, of our faculty contract. There shall be an academic employee professional program development program to provide opportunities for the individual professional development. All right, so conference, professional meetings, short-term projects, long-term projects, extended leaves, and apparently it comes from 1% of the district budget. That's aside for faculty. That's it. Any questions?
There's a question in the chat. It says when can we expect to get paid back? And then where's the link for the after conference stuff?
Let's see.
I just added the link for the professional development site. And so under faculty and required materials, you'll see all of the before and after.
Yeah, and you go to the forums. And what was the other question? Oh, how long? We try to get things done. We try to approve things in less than a week. And I'm not sure. I'm not really involved in the process after that. So I'm not sure exactly how long it takes to get paid out or whatever. But has anyone else done it and have an idea? Like I said, I've been on the PD committee for quite a while and I've never actually used it.
Usually the reimbursement checks, I believe, are ran on the same pay schedule as student assistance. So it's about once a month on the 15th is when they disperse those checks. When your check is ready, you'll get an email from the cashier's office stating that you have a check available.
Okay. Cool. Good to know. All right. Yeah, no problem.
All right, any final questions for Nathan? Going once, twice. All right, well, thank you very much for the updates. And like I said, if you'd like to apply, you know, you fill out the application and you send it in to me and then we go from there. I usually check back in with folks to if there's questions I have about the conference, et cetera. But it's a fairly painless process and I'm happy to engage in that with you. So please let me know if there's some stuff that you'd like to attend. All right, moving right along. I don't see Allison in here yet, so we can actually just move on to.
Oh, I just got an email from Allison. She's leaving the humanities meeting and she's hopping in just a moment.
Okay, great. She finally gets to come to the cool kids meeting. All the science folks, all the math, engineering, we're all here.
I could give like a 10-second update from the safety committee if you want.
That'd be great, please.
just something that came up at our last meeting a couple of weeks ago is that, you know, we're following the county guidelines as far as COVID protocols go. And now the guideline has been like if you or a student gets COVID, and then you start to recover, and if you're symptom free for 24 hours, you can come back. You can go out in public and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to isolate. The isolation period is only 24 hours of symptom free now. It's not 5 days or whatever it used to be.
Yeah, and we'll have. We'll have some time for our standing agenda items also. Let's see. Actually, no, I'm going to pivot to our standing agenda items, just report outs from shared governance, as well as our wonderful ASCC representative. And then once Allison gets in here, we can move to her agenda item. So let's go ahead and start with the most important person in the room, Katie, because this is why we're here. We're here for the students. So Katie, if you want to give us some updates, please.
Hello, y'all. My name is Katie. I'm the Senator at Large for STEM for ASCC, the Associated Students of Kenyatta College, so our Student Senate. We had a meeting yesterday, and we're still like, we officially voted everybody in for their participatory governance, so you should start seeing us at your participatory governance meetings, as well as events. We're starting to get those started. Club Rush, we're going to have Club Rush next on the 13th, which I think is next week. Another thing that we really want to work on more this semester, and personally I want to work on, is more of a presence on campus. So getting students to know that we're here and that we're there to help them. So hopefully I'll figure out a way where I can possibly in the STEM building post a link that people, if they need to talk to me or they have a complaint or something that they want to discuss, they could come to me and I could bring it back to these meetings. So ASCC is just getting started for this semester, but we're excited for it and I'm excited to see everybody here.
Great, thank you. All right, let's see what report outs from. Let's see some, so I saw Martin on here. Martin, do you have anything from the curriculum committee? I know I can't recall if we've had their first meeting yet.
Yes, we had their curriculum meeting yesterday. Nothing immediate and exciting as far as that goes. It's pretty straightforward. Just sort of a heads up in case you're revising your course curriculum. There is going to be a statewide numbering system coming down upon you, defining what your course is about. So you might have seen those CID descriptors in the in your course outlines. Well, that's probably going to become the course number, and you can actually follow that up and look up on the website what the state thinks that CID corresponds to. They have a description, and that will become the description of your course. So this is a couple of years down the road, but it is coming. So just a heads up for that. That's about the most exciting thing from the curriculum.
That is exciting. Thank you for sharing that. And I know we have Ray and Sumati, who are our IPC and Academic Senate representatives, are doing observations of another class today, so we won't hear from them. I'll make sure to they loop back in with any updates from those committees. Let's see. Anyone else have additional share outs from shared governance? Any standing committees, et cetera? All right. Hearing none, we can pivot over to our grants. Rance, Ramki, anything for Trabaja?
Yeah, so we're currently in the process of wrapping up last year's grant, because we had to submit the report in April. So that's currently in the process. So last year, we had a job shadow event. We also did site visits. And so essentially, what came out of that was just, some of our students, they wanted to go in industry, but they really appreciate it because they never, been there. So it was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do in the future. Is this what I really want to do in the future? And so with the actual job shadowing, where they got to go off and, work, look at what they were working on, hear more about their projects, it really, let them know like if this is right or wrong. And it's kind of funny, one student changed. She was like, oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I want to do this, which is pretty cool. And then also too, one thing that some of the feedback we got from the students were that these are just regular people. Some of them felt that they might not been smart enough, but when they listened to the stories of the professionals, they're like, oh, okay, I could do this. So we're currently planning for our spring job shadowing, planning more site tours, and also trying to really get the mentoring aspect more so. Because on Zoom, the mentoring aspect was pretty good because that's all we can do via Zoom. We couldn't do site visits, but now it's just like people are so like, oh, come. But the mentoring aspect is really, we're going to improve on that. So that's.
Thanks, Rance. I just wanted to piggyback off Rance. Thank you, Rance, for that update. So, I mean, for us, one of the big things in this grant is to, of course, recruit students to participate in it. With the division having created a Canvas page for, I guess, it's by default, a student in the division is able to access that Canvas page. And I was wondering how faculty can get access to that page as well, so we can market this and try and increase the number of students who can participate in these kind of career exploration activities.
Yeah, so I'm guessing you're referring to the interest area landing page or the interest area payments
Yes,
page. Yeah,
that's
so
right.
we can let's talk offline. I can get you the information about that, and I'll send that out in an email. But typically, we just send.
Excellent.
I don't know that. I guess we can ask Allison about this. Getting access to
Yeah.
the page directly because there is the interest area retention specialists oversee each one of those. So I think that
I
I
see.
would defer to Jackie as to how she's managing that. So I don't know if she's granting direct access to faculty or if it's more of a hey Jackie, here's a heads up about a thing I'd like you to post about. Can you post about this? So that's what we that's the latter has been the model that we've been using so far. But if that's insufficient, please let me know and then we can work on optimizing that if necessary.
And
Okay,
FYI,
thank
Jackie is
you.
out on maternity leave for the remainder of the semester.
Oh, great.
I did reach out to Erica Reynolds as well, who's our Canvas help now that Allison is doing a lot of other things.
Yes.
So I'm waiting to hear back from her as well as to how we can access that.
Great.
Thank you.
All right.
That's
Let's
it.
see. Any other? Oh, yeah. Sumaki is also not here, so we're not going to hear from her still about the NSF Ascent grant. I can give you folks updates. There was one event, I believe, towards the end of last semester, but we're in our no cost extension year for that grant. So we'll hear more from them going forward.
And Allison is here.
Allison is here. Hello, Allison. How are you? Let's see. Any other? So I think we're through those standing agenda items. Anything else for the good of the order? Things that folks wanted to announce? Anything? Until let's
I had a
see.
quick
Oh.
question.
Yes, go ahead.
About for the career grant, is the official title a career exploration grant for the
Oh, for the oh yeah. So yeah, Ron, can you
it's
type
called
out the
the it's called the Trabajo grant. I'll
Trabajo.
type it out here. And so that's actually a grant whose goal is to provide students with career exploration activities. And Rounds has been going to, for example, the engineering club. And we are just, so the reason we want to access the Canvas page is so we can broaden our marketing campaign and, basically tell everybody that there's something like this available for them to access. So
And is it
thank you for that
just
question.
for science and technology, or is it across all disciplines for
So
students?
it's largely for students who have long-term interest in being in the STEM area. Currently, they may not be in the STEM area, but if they think that, they want to explore it, then yes, they are also viable candidates for this grant.
Thank you.
No problem.
Camille, I see your hand up.
Yeah, just wanted to kind of soft launch a cool announcement from the chem department. We are in the process of getting a Kenyatta College Chemistry Club up and running, otherwise known as C4. So more information will come. We'll be sending out flyers and information. So if you have any students that are interested in chemistry, biochemistry, or maybe want to do some like hands-on lab stuff, we'd love to have them. So keep your ear out. We'll be sending some information soon.
Thank you for letting us know. I was chatting with I'm going blank on their name, the student who's heading up
Ocean,
the
yes,
ocean.
ocean.
I know it's like some very beautiful natural thing. I kept thinking rainbow, it's ocean. No, ocean. I was chatting with Ocean in the STEM Center, I think last week before about this, the chemistry club, and there's some really cool, exciting ideas coming out of there. So there's I think it's a wonderful addition to our campus culture. See, Star Party. April 12th.
You won't escape me. The astronomy club also joined. There is free food announced to your students. We are fun and we also play Legos. The primary date we have chosen for this semester, April 12th, the backup date isn't actually until May 3rd. But yeah, you can check this for announcements and updates, or contact me to put you on the actual email list on for this. That's it.
Great, thank you very much. All right, anyone else have any announcements? All right, in that case, we can pivot right over to the one, the only, the wonderful Allison Hughes. Thank you for joining our meeting. It's great to have you here. Glad you got to get away from all those stuffy humanities people. Now you're with the cool kids hanging out in the STEM division. As everyone knows, science people are the best people. So welcome.
That is true. Yeah, we got into a topic, we got into AI, and it just went sideways. And it was like 15 minutes later, and I was like, I gotta get out of here.
That's what happens with AI. It's yeah. Taken over. Yeah. It's gonna go sideways.
Yeah.
Watch out, folks.
But thank you for that wonderful introduction, Amir. That was great. And yes, so sorry that I'm so late. I hope I didn't cause any agenda drama or dominoes.
You're right on time, and happy to have you.
Great. So hi everyone. In case you don't know me, although I think everyone does, I'm Allison Hughes. I'm Kenyatta's instructional designer. And I wanted to come around today to all the divisions and just share kind of how last semester went having an instructional designer, and highlight some support opportunities for this semester with our instructional designer, AKA me. So I'm going to paste the slides in the chat since there's lots of clickable things and scannable things in there. And I am going to go ahead and share my slides. Please let me know if you can't see them. Okay. So, Spring 24 Instructional Design Support at Kenyatta. So last semester, as you know, our first semester having an instructional designer, I did a good number of consultations, some of them from this department or this division. And faculty wanted to talk about a lot of interesting concepts, a lot of questions around alternative grading strategies, course design feedback. You had one long-term leave project planning session that was exciting, and lots of questions about assessment, assessing our SLOs, things like that. I did lots of workshops, which many of you came to, which were really great. We had some great conversations, although I got a lot of feedback about non-flex day workshops are really hard for people to make it to between teaching and grading and everything else throughout the semester. Scheduled workshops are just tough for people to make it to. I came around last semester and invited you all to fill out a survey, which many of you did. I included the link in these slides in case you didn't get a chance to fill it out. I'd still love to hear from you, hear your thoughts. But what I found in that survey is most faculty are not familiar with the role of an instructional designer, but most of us feel that the role could be helpful in their courses. So that's exciting. The most needed support topics that were requested is lots of equity-minded practices, pedagogy best practices, advanced course design, and lots of accessibility help. Preferred support formats, you can see workshops not really at the top of the list. Lots of requests for more flexible formats like drop-in office hours, consultations, online resources, and questions via email. And then faculty said their most common challenges are increasing student engagement, aligning content with learning outcomes, and accessibility. So I'm going to do my best to focus on those things going forward. So this semester, I have office hours again, Tuesdays, 2:30 to 3:30, both in person and on Zoom. So please drop in with questions, or if you just want to chat through an issue you're having in your class or something you want to try out, we can test it out. We can look at it together. I'm offering consultations again. I put lots of information on this slide because I know consultations with instructional designers kind of a new concept for us. So really trying to give you some specific examples of what a consultation could involve. We could do a short one where we just like chat through a general question you have. Like, I do this group project and it always is a pain for everyone, including me. How can I make it run more smoothly? We can just brainstorm together some ideas. We could do longer consultations where we really dive into some specifics, identify some specific fixes in your course or next steps and how to make your course better. And I'll go into some more specifics on those. Or generally my consultation appointments can also just be like, if you need a sounding board or a second set of eyes, maybe you're trying something new in your course and you wanna make sure that it's working the way you think it's gonna work. Really could be anything that you need. So some consultation ideas. So this one came up last semester. I'm calling them course design boosts. I had a faculty member say to me, you know, I have my online class and I want to make it better, but I just don't know what to do next. Can you just take a look and tell me what to do, what to work on next? So I went through and I just gave them like, you know, five things that are going to be really impactful and kind of how to do them. And I got some feedback that those were really helpful. So if that sounds helpful to you, that's an option. Accessibility is always a great need for all of us. And I know it can be overwhelming if you run an accessibility checker on your course and it's like, you have 120 errors. And you're like, you know, now my stomach hurts. We can sit together and I can help you identify like what are just like the top three things that we're going to fix and what's like the best, most efficient way to fix them. So you don't have to like go back and redo things and waste any time. So that's something we could do together in a consultation. Also, if you are considering going through POCR, the peer online course review process with the wonderful Nada, if you know you're gonna do that in the future, we could always set up a consultation to take a look and see like, what are some things you could get in order before you start the POCR process? Just to save you time down the road. POCR can be really time consuming, really great, really beneficial for your students and you, but very time consuming. And so we can always sit down and get some really important things out of the way to make that process go maybe a little quicker and a little smoother for you. So those are just some examples, some ideas for consultation topics, but a consultation can be anything you need, any question, teaching topic, teaching help that you have. It doesn't have to be limited to online classes or Canvas. You can apply to your face-to-face classes. So that's all I have, just a couple examples of consultations. And then I wanted to leave time for any questions or if you all have any instructional design support needs in mind that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear them. I'm going to stop sharing. And just let me know if you have any questions.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Susan.
Hello, Allison. Thank you for coming to our division meeting. So I see now that I'm looking on the online teaching website and now I see where I can make an appointment with consultations and all that. And I see that it says spring workshops coming soon. I may have not heard you say it here, so sorry if you already said it. Do you know what workshops you're doing this spring? Are you still soliciting ideas? Or are you not going to do as many because people aren't being able to attend? Or what's the status for spring workshops?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do flex day workshops. Non-flex day ones, I'm still brainstorming because I heard a lot last semester that people just weren't able to come to them. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that I heard that and provided some stuff in different formats rather than focusing all my efforts into workshops. So I might do a few workshops, but I'm also working on some other formats. Like I'm gonna send out some, I had this idea for micro workshops that are like asynchronous online. They take less than 30 minutes to complete and you can do them whenever works for you. So I'm gonna try and do a couple of those so that way they work more for people's time and schedule. So between those flex day and maybe like one or two spring workshops, I think that's kind of my plan this semester. But if anybody has workshop ideas or you feel like, no, we really want workshops, like let me know. I'm happy to hear it.
I'm just cognizant of your time. If everybody asks for your individual consultation, it seems like it's better to do it and they're to do it with more people. So maybe that's, we can all get more people involved if we have something. Like, for instance, I've been meaning to get Pronto into my course for one of my courses in particular for a while.
Yeah.
And rather, then hit you up individually. Maybe it seems like I've heard other people still want to do that that haven't done it, and it's not difficult. So
yeah, Pronto was actually one of the topics of workshops I was thinking of this semester. So yeah, you'll probably see that one.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Susan.
Any other questions? Going once, going twice. But luckily,
I should have come here first and then gone to humanities.
Yeah. Now you know.
Yeah.
but no, as always, thank you so much for all your support and all your information. I'm absolutely certain that, and I don't mean to speak for you, but certainly if you have additional questions, you can contact Allison after this, emails, drop-in office hours, carrier pigeons.
Yes.
If you have those drones that can make shapes in the air, and you do a bunch of those and say, Allison, help.
Help, yeah.
All of those are acceptable forms of communication, some more reasonable than others.
Yes.
So thank you again for presenting, and we'll be in touch. I'd love to have you come back again if you have some stuff to show us.
Yeah, I'm happy to come anytime. Thanks everyone for having me, and happy Friday.
Have a great weekend. All right, folks, so we're going to do a little bit of a pivot. We're going to go straight into what was supposed to be the icing on the cake. It is now going to be the icing first, and then we'll put some more of the cake in there. We have a data presentation from the one, the only, Dean Karen Engel, from our esteemed pre-office. Karen, welcome to our division meeting.
Thank you, Dean Thompson. Hope you can all hear me. I'm actually in a coffee shop. I'm at a community meeting here in North Fair Oaks this afternoon and stepped out, and they didn't have a quiet spot with Wi-Fi. So here I am. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes.
Happy I'm going now, which I appreciate, because then I can duck into the meeting again. So I'm here at Dean Thompson's request, and I am going to present some data that Crystal will help share screen on. But I will also introduce, while she's bringing it up, Tara Morris, who is here also, who, as many of you know, has been subbing for Alex Claxton as our pre-analyst this year while Alex is detailing at CSM. And some of this analysis that you're about to see, much of it, was her analysis. So she's here for questions, and also you can contact her maybe for follow-ups. So yeah, so a little bit, this was to inform your scheduling conversations, looking at course enrollments and course success rates by modality. And I think Dean Thompson had this idea last spring already when we were presenting the results of our survey. We did a student survey spring looking at their modality preferences. So those results, I'll put a link in the chat, but the full deck is of those survey results that are on the pre-survey page. I'm just going to run through a few of them here. Go ahead, Crystal. Thank you. We contacted everybody, all the students. Let me see, that seems like a low number. I can't remember exactly what the universe was that we contacted, but you saw there about a 15% response rate that started the survey, and about 11%. So I would not say this is highly statistically valid, but pretty good. We saw that Hispanic students were slightly less likely to respond, while white and Asian students more. Female students were slightly more likely to respond than male students, and full-timers slightly more likely to respond. So keep some of this with a grain of salt, but I think that, as you can see, go ahead. Actually, the previous one, Crystal. Thank you. Nope. Back. I think two back from here.
Sorry, I'm fighting with technology. Every time I click, it's okay. Here we go.
There we go. Up. Oh, one more. There we go. Okay. So the purpose of the survey, and the instructional deans and VP Shea were interested in this, because as we recover from the pandemic, as you all know, we're all wondering what is the balance of modalities that we want to be offering. And your department has, your division has the good fortune of offering multiple sections sometimes. And so the question is, you know, which modality choice do you make? And so we were trying to understand modality preferences by subject or class type or facility use. And so you can see here, I've highlighted your divisional class types. And by and large, with the exception of computer science, there was a slight preference, a decent preference in most cases, for face-to-face across those class types. Okay, now you can go to the next slide. Thanks, Crystal. And yeah, this is Tara's work. And so she looked by department or subject. And this is 3 terms worth. The next slide only looks at last fall because we recognize that, you know, these preferences have shifted as the pandemic recedes. So we pulled 3 sort of post-pandemic terms in this slide to give you a sense. It had better numbers. And we basically looked at enrollments, success rates, and then Tara calculated just the delta vis-a-vis face-to-face. So on the right there, you'll see, so for example, in astronomy, a hybrid did just slightly lower course success rates than a face-to-face. And that was just a subtraction of the overall success rate by modality there. So green, you're gonna be doing a little better than face-to-face, and red indicates not as good as at face-to-face. And as you can see, you know, might vary again by department and by modality. And we're gonna give you this deck, and it's got data for each of you. So hold on, we'll put that in the chat. And then again, like I said, we'll be available for follow-up questions. Next slide, please. So this next one is just for fall 23. And again, you know, some classes weren't offered, so we didn't really have the data to compare it to. That might be something you all wanna reconsider based on the 3-term data set. Here you can see though the same kind of calculations. Next slide, please. So Dean Thompson was also interested in looking at, you know, disproportionate impact in course success rates by student population by modality. And so this looks at, you know, most of the student populations that we care about in terms of this kind of thing. And we look to see where there was disproportionate impact. And you can see that actually between face-to-face and online, there are some groups that are impacted no matter what modality we're talking about. Yes, absolutely. Copies of these slides are going to be in the chat shortly. And then there are other instances where you see folks struggling face-to-face, but not online and vice versa. Again, please look at your program data, and Tara even has course level data if you'd like it. But again, in those instances, sometimes the N is a little too small for us to determine much, but all that data is available for you if you're interested. Next slide, please. In terms of looking at disproportionate impact on access, sort of who's even enrolling, really the only population that is consistently not accessing your divisional courses in proportion to their representing the whole campus is female students. And as many of you know, our campus is majority female in terms of its enrollments. And so, again, we can give you these numbers if you're interested. Next slide. All right, so I'm not actually going to go through all these, but just please know that we calculated for each of you your own data set for the 3 terms in question. And we can also provide you more detail for your program at the course level. And then, of course, we also have, this is all in our data dashboard as well. The data dashboard just doesn't include yet the 22 fall 23 data. That's it for the slides. I'm going to throw it into, thank you, Crystal, so much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to throw the slide deck into the chat and happy to take any questions.
Karen, this is Lance, not Judy. Karen, that's my wife. How do you compute success rate?
Yeah, so in the numerator is going to be any student who received an A, B, C, or pass. And then the denominator will be all students except those who got an excused withdraw. So all students who had originally registered for the class, including those who withdrew, but not those who had an excused withdraw. If that makes sense.
Okay.
other questions. And again, we are available for follow-up and deep dive in your program data if you'd like.
This is Doug. I've got a quick question.
Yeah.
My class is the lecture might be offered asynchronous online. The lab is in person.
Mm-hmm.
Is that classified as a hybrid class, or is that classified, or do those two parts end up in the two different categories?
I'm going to let Tara answer that, but I'm going to just remind us all that there's two ways that the college has been handling that. One is that you actually have a hybrid section, one course section, one CRN, and it is hybrid. Okay. And the other is that we're cross-listing two sections, one that's face-to-face, right? So Tara, do you want to just explain to us how you dealt with the cross-listed sections?
Mine isn't cross-listed, so that explains it. So it's just how it's okay. Listed with
so,
CRN.
So yeah, if it was a hybrid class, then it would just be the outcomes that you see would be included in the hybrid modality.
Great, thank you.
Hope this helps in your scheduling decisions.
Yeah, this is really great. So like I said, we're working on the fall schedule now. So the big motivation for this was to give some folks some food for thought on how they want to schedule classes. And certainly I think they can start to get down into the more granular level as we need to mm-hmm. on a, you know, even on a section by section basis. And the scheduling of course is sort of the purview of the dean, but instruction is purview of the faculty. So the way we make those two things sync up is I get feedback from you folks on what you need from a pedagogical perspective, and then I can use that to inform my scheduling. So I want this data presentation to hopefully will be useful in helping you figure out or have some additional insight into how you might want to schedule your class, or what sort of pedagogical things are working, which things may need to be optimized, which things need to, you know, and or anything in between. So so please keep this in mind, and certainly following up with Karen and Tara and the sort of pre-mechanisms will be a really great way to sort of start this conversation. So if you have some questions, they're happy to answer those. And as always, I'm happy to work with all of you and trying to figure out the best modality for either a single class or sort of classes in general. And we have the great fortune in our division to have multiple sections oftentimes. So if it's a Math 200, we can offer a Math 200 in person, and we can offer that in person in the morning, in the afternoon, and then we can do it asynchronous, and we can do it synchronous, because we have lots of sections. So it leaves us some opportunity to experiment and really try to get all of those demographics and modality preferences taken care of. And Nathan loves hybrids so much, he even drives one. So that is
Thompson, awesome. Can I say one more thing? And
yes, please.
I just to echo what we're seeing in the chat. So I didn't include it, but frequently, and we did modality surveys several times during the pandemic, and what we see in the open response, and I've seen this my entire almost 10-year career in research, the community colleges, students tend to know that they do better face-to-face and they need online and multimodal to balance their lives, as you all know. And so just keep that in mind. It's not necessarily in the data, but it certainly comes through in the open responses that we get.
No, thank you for that. And I think that's a further reminder that the data is, you know, so one aspect of the things that we take into account, because the data can give you some information, quantitative information, but it's sort of those student narratives and also your experiences faculty, which help breathe life into that data and turn those numbers into actionable insights. So really that's the goal here. So again, thank you, Karen, so much, Karen and Tara, for all your work on this. Because I think it will be very helpful in how we move forward.
Thank you all for having us, and you know where to find us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to we're not going to do too much in the way of division business. I sent out included in with the agenda Crystal sent out was a memo that has a few things on there with regard to things like late ads. You should have received information about that, ZTC, the ZTC program. So I won't go through and read that all to you, but please when you have a chance, go through and look at that. There's some great information in there. The one thing I do want to emphasize, as we talked about during, I believe, our last division meeting, I guess, seems like months ago, but that was during Flex Day. Census is coming up, so make sure that you are dropping any students who have not participated from the rosters. It's part of our normal practice. And so as always, make sure you're doing that. It's important that we maintain that. All right, any questions before we move forward? Nathan.
Just because everybody's commenting about the hybrid stuff, it should be pretty interesting to have a discussion about how different people run their hybrid courses, especially with labs and things like that.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be a great conversation to have, and certainly within department and also at the division level. Really trying to think constructively about what is the best modality, because I made the point, the in-person courses are great for students because they do better, but then if you're working 20, 30 hours a week and you're supporting a family, then and you have to you're taking the bus from East Palo Alto, then maybe an online course works out better, right? So it's balancing all those different factors, which makes our job fruitful and challenging. But that's the challenge that we need to meet in order to serve our students. So as always, I'm really eager to have those conversations. So let's keep that conversation going, because I think the answer, we can find an answer, and I don't think the answer is going to be static. As in, with each iteration, as students' needs change over time, we'll have to continue to reevaluate how we deliver classes. All right. Since we have we're ahead of schedule, which is great. So what we're going to do now is pivot to our breakout room. So I'll have Crystal open those up in just a second. I'll be coming through to talk to folks. For our full-time faculty, I sent you out some information about evaluations. I'm going to touch base about those in the breakout rooms, and I have a couple other things I'll probably chat about. But for now, Crystal, can you go ahead and please open up the breakout rooms? And Andrew, just as a heads up, I think most of our math folks are doing an observation right now, so you may be a little bit lonely in math. So I'm not quite sure what time they'll be back from that, or if they're coming back, just as an FYI.
Okay, got it.
Breakout rooms are open.
Great, thank you so much.
I'm not sure which breakout room I should join.
You can go wherever you want to. I mean, this is, like I said, you're a student, so you can... Your insights will be valuable in every room. So anywhere you want to go would be great.
I'll bother them all.
Please do. And see, and Judy, if you wanted to go over. Oh, sorry, Lance.
I have to learn how to change that name.
So you can go over into either with the math. I guess the math folks aren't here. But Romke is here if you'd like to chat with Romke for a bit.
Okay, I'll do that since I don't know how to get into a chat room.
I think Crystal, can you put Lance into the engineering breakout room, please?
Yes, I can, and I was able to change your name on there.
Oh, even better. Although Judy is a beautiful name, so please tell your wife I said hi.
I will. Thank you.
Should I stick around here, Amir?
Yeah, actually, if you can go to the Radtech breakout room, and then I'll pop in there and we can chat.
Yeah, there's it's just me.
Okay, yes. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Crystal, you can pause the recording.
Oh, yeah.